Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. The Republican leadership in the General Assembly recently released their budget goals for this session to address the state's shortfall. They include more than $700 million in cuts in education beyond those recommended by Governor Beverly Perdue. Some of those cuts will come from the community colleges across the state who are already struggling to meet the needs of the thousands of new students enrolling every year to seek retraining after losing a job. Community College President Scott Rawls joins us now to talk about the budget proposals and a controversy over allowing access to low-interest federal loans. President Rawls, thank you for being with us on News and Views. I know you're busy and we appreciate your time.
Thank you, Chris. Glad to be with you.
Well, let's start with the topic I think on most people's minds these days, the state budget. First, I wanted to ask you about your reaction to the governor's budget and the cuts that she recommended.
We think it's kind of a mixed bag. There's certainly a few opportunities there for us, but there's also some real challenges, and our system is under a lot of challenges now. So we knew we weren't going to be immune for cuts, but there will be some real challenges based on the proposal.
As you know, the governor included $800 million of revenue from the expiring sales tax, or three-fourths of it, and the Republican leadership has said they're definitely not going to do that and are looking for another billion in cuts. What would happen to the community college system, or what would be the effect if there were much deeper cuts made in the system?
You know, I think that the budget hole is such that we're all aware the challenges are such that none of us are going to be immune, even the community colleges, which have probably grown more than any other aspect of state government funded through the general fund. So those challenges are there, but certainly if the challenges grow deeper, it will have a greater impact on our students. Just from a perspective of where we are, our system has grown by 25% since in the last 3 years, and our per student funding coming from the general fund has declined during that same period by about 12%. So it's a real balancing act for us right now.
And how much of a role or how worried are you that increased tuition will be used to fill a lot of this hole? I mean, at what point does that become a huge problem for the students?
Well, I think that's probably our most difficult balancing act, particularly because we really appreciate our role that we serve. A main part of our role is to serve low-income students, so it certainly has an impact. And if you look at the last 5 years, our tuition has gone up by 43%, but our portion of state-based aid has remained constant. So it's a challenge. I think, though, as we step back and look at it, one of the challenges is if you have the finance to go to school but you have no classes to take, then it's kind of a false promise. So, you know, access is a balance of both having the financial means but actually the infrastructure to be able to support the educational opportunity. And that's becoming, I think, a huge challenge for us. We've seen, I know at Wake Tech in the fall semester, there were 10,000 students who registered for classes and they couldn't support those requests. I've seen it all across the state. I've seen it in rural areas where I was visiting Isothermal, where we had 11 students that had just completed a pipe fitting course, wanted to keep going into the welding degree and couldn't have access. So access is a balance both of having the financial means but also the infrastructure to support it.
The community college system is one of those, I guess, counter-cyclical parts of state government that when the economy is down and more people are out of work, more people turn to you and the community colleges for help, whether it's retraining or getting another degree.
You know, I think there's a realization that's forming. Sometimes, you know, I'm not objective about it. So, you know, I'd like to see a little more consideration of that. We've certainly seen in the last, I think probably in the last 2 years, we've seen more attention placed on community colleges than ever before. And I think that's a combination of a realization of the challenges we face, but more importantly, the role we play in terms of kind of a jobs-focused form of education. We've certainly seen a number of public appearances and mentions in speeches. I think we've yet to see the same consideration in budget proposals, so that's a little bit of a frustration to us.
A couple issues that are specific issues that are now before the General Assembly. One is the legislation about the low-interest federal loans, whether or not the community colleges should be required to participate in the federal loan program. There's legislation in both the House and the Senate, and it looks like college presidents have different views. What do you think the lawmakers should do?
Some people see black and white on this issue. I see the grays. I was a college president where we did provide the loans, and so, you know, my own personal opinion would be towards the access that the loans provide, and I think it goes back to something I was suggesting to you before. We've seen a 43% increase in our tuition in the last 5 years. Our portion of state-based financial aid has remained constant. We support about half of all undergraduates, I think, in North Carolina now, but about 15% of the state-based aid. And we're looking at in Washington, where there's probably going to be reductions in Pell Grants. Maintaining access to courses is probably going to require, you know, it will require, you know, tuition increases next year. So, you know, I hate to see students not having access in that regard. On the other hand, though, I have to say, I do see and have sympathy for the reasons for why there is such great concern about the loans. We see very risky debt behavior on behalf of students in some cases, and while some may suggest that's a little paternalistic given that our students are average ages 27, one thing about the loan process is it puts the responsibility on the colleges in terms of the cohort default rate. And being a state that has a lot of small colleges, we have some colleges that are approaching dangerous default rates in terms of that regard, and that can threaten other students' Pell Grants. I think that's sort of the balance. You know, I lean probably more towards providing the loans, but I also certainly have a great deal of empathy for the concerns that expressed on the other side.
Another issue before the legislature is the tuition waivers at community colleges, whether or not we need to cap on those, whether we need to look at who gets or who's eligible for waivers. Where are we, do you think, on our waiver program?
That's not something that we have put forward as a budget reduction option. If you look at the primary sources of the waivers, they come in two areas. One is in terms of our public service personnel, firefighters, emergency medical, and that's the major source. The other side's the high school students who are accessing the dual enrollment programs. So the waivers put further strain on our system, but they support a very important constituent to us, which is our first responders, as well as the dual enrollment programs. And we're very focused while we, you know, certainly the budget is our an issue that we talk about every day. Our primary focus is on student success, and we think that the dual enrollment opportunities do provide a real opportunity for students, particularly low-income students, who can become involved in college opportunities at an earlier age and see a pathway to success. So if you look at it in that regard, it is a cost, but we do think it has a benefit over time.
And finally, on specific legislation, Representative Cleveland has again introduced his bill to ban undocumented students from enrolling at community colleges and public universities. What's the system's response to that?
Well, you know, our system responded to that. Obviously, it was in the news for a period of time, and our system, our state board, took a very deliberate approach to addressing that, put forward a policy. After a great deal of deliberation, we think it was a balanced proposal. It essentially does allow for admission for those students, but they have to be graduates of U.S. high schools. They can't displace a North Carolinian. They pay out-of-state tuition, which means no taxpayer dollars. We think it's a balanced approach that our board has taken on, and so we've kind of moved on with that issue. Obviously, those issues will have been and maybe before both the state and at the federal level, and that may change things, but we've sort of attempted to address it and move forward.
Well, President Rawls, we really appreciate your time and your frankness, and we hope to have you back soon. Thanks for being
with us. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate being with you.
Up next, a look at the struggles of an undocumented student seeking a college education. Stay tuned.